Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Gary Smith.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
From the Times-Picayune in New Orleans, Tulane beat writer for quite some time now. Gary, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm starting to wonder. It's been raining here for two solid days now, and it's supposed to get out of the way for game time, but the forecast keeps having the rain leave later and later, so it might end up being a wet football game tomorrow.
Yeah, that would certainly add a wrinkle. Tulane, yeah, under Willie Fritz has had a really, really good run. He, of course, has left for the Big 12 in Houston. But John Sumrall comes in from Troy, and by all accounts, this program at least hasn't missed a beat. What do you expect from the Green Wave in this very difficult game against Kansas State?
Well, yeah, I mean, they couldn't have made a better hire. Willie Fritz turned around the program and won 23 games in the last 2 years before going to Houston. And guess how many games that John Sumrall won at Troy? Yeah, that would be 23 games in the last 2 years. He and Willie Fritz won one conference title. John Sumrall won back-to-back conference titles in his 2 years at Troy. And not only that, he has experience at Tulane. He was an assistant for 3 years under former coach Curtis Johnson on his staff. So he knows he's recruited the area before. He knows what it's like, and it was a home run hire for Tulane. So there's the total expectation here that the program is going to stay at the level that it has been the last couple of years, and if it's possible, maybe even get better.
So last week it was a blowout, but Tulane scored eight touchdowns, yeah, and they got those touchdowns from seven different players. Is that how this team will succeed ultimately, or was that just because it was a blowout and maybe the rotation, yeah, slims down a little bit?
Yeah, it's hard. You can't really glean a whole lot from playing Southeastern Louisiana, the team that went 3-8 last year in the FCS. I think the rotation will narrow down a bit. I mean, clearly the best returning player for Tulane Community this year on offense was Makai Hughes, their running back. He actually didn't do a whole lot in that game. At Troy last year, their running back led the nation in carries, and Makai Hughes is that type of back. The more carries you give him, the more damage he does, and I expect him to be the focal point of the offense. Certainly not the only piece, but I think he's going to play a much bigger role Saturday and for the rest of the season than he did in opener.
Gary Smith with us from the New Orleans Times-Picayune, covers Tulane. So they brought in Ty Thompson, a former five-star recruit, to be in the quarterback battle. I think the assumption was that he would be the guy. That hasn't been the case. Tell us how that all transpired.
It was quite the surprise. And that, look, Ty Thompson, he spent 3 years as a backup at Oregon, really only got in blowout when he arrived in the spring. I certainly thought he would end up being the quarterback. Now, they did have a returning quarterback in Kai Horton, another fourth-year guy who'd started four games over his career and had some good moments backing up. Michael Pratt had started Tulane's bowl game against Virginia Tech last year. And then there's Darian Mensa, a California product, who Tulane offered him right before his senior year. Here are the other two offers he had after that. He had none before Tulane. Idaho State, which had gone 1-10, and Lindenwood. That's it. No other offers. The Tulane staff, they saw him, the recruiting coordinator saw his highlights on Twitter from his junior year, showed it to Willie Fritz and his staff. They were impressed. They went after him. They felt like they had a diamond in the rough, and he just simply won the job in the preseason. Tulane had two preseason scrimmages. He came in as the third guy in the first scrimmage and led touchdowns on both drives. Then they made him the first team guy to see what he could do in the next scrimmage, and he outperformed the other two quarterbacks by a pretty wide margin there too. He's from the Central Coast in California, which is not a heavily recruited area in general, about halfway in between Los Angeles and the Bay Area. He's got all the tools, though. He's 6'3". He has a strong arm. He had good stats as a senior, and he's a good athlete. But he just seems to have that it factor. And look, we're going to find out. Obviously, tomorrow is a much, much, much different test than what he had against Southeastern. But he absolutely earned the job. And it's his now, unless he just doesn't perform.
Yeah, what has Tulane personnel said about the challenge of this non-conference schedule that goes K-State and then Oklahoma, Louisiana, which isn't they're not world beaters, but they've been to, I think, six straight bowl games. Yeah. And how crucial is maybe this one to where you can end it 3-1 as opposed to maybe 2-2?
This is a massive game. I mean, because when John Summerall was hired, he said his goal is to take Tulane to the college football playoff and not just to the college football playoff. And obviously that's a possibility now with the 12-team playoff where there's a guaranteed spot for the highest rated champion of the group of five leagues. It would be a heck of a lot easier to get there if Tulane can beat Kansas State or Oklahoma on the road in the next 2 weeks. Obviously, getting Kansas State at home is an advantage. So, yeah, this is a massive game. 2 years ago, that was the turning point in Tulane's program because Willie Fritz had never beaten Power 5 school in his entire coaching career until Tulane went to Manhattan and won that game 2 years ago. And that let Tulane team know that they could be a championship type team. This team feels the same way. They've got a lot of newcomers, a lot of transfers that came in after spring. They're starting on defense, but they believe they're a championship level team. And the first way to show that is to beat Kansas State.
We got the pregame. We got the game right here on KFH tomorrow. Tulane hosting Kansas State in New Orleans. 11 o'clock kickoff. So Gary Smith joining us from the Times-Picayune. We still don't know exactly what to expect from Kansas State. They also had kind of a breather in their opener.
Right.
But it looks like they have a lot of speed and a lot of weapons, and they love to run it, and they can use several different people to run the football. And then they've also got that Avery Johnson thing going at quarterback. Going to be a difficult offense to deal with. What do you think? What do you think about Tulane's defense?
Certainly. It may be a good thing that Tulane has a new staff on defense because the kryptonite under Willie Fritz was speedy quarterbacks that could do damage with their legs. Plumlee at UCF 2 years ago ran for about 180 yards on Tulane and beat him. Tulane got him in the rematch in the championship game, but he wasn't really healthy in that game. And Matt Corral at Ole Miss a few years ago just ran wild on Tulane and for four touchdowns. So the eye-popping stat to me, because I didn't know much about Avery Johnson. Obviously, he barely ran because he didn't need to in the first game, but when I found out he came off the bench and scored five rushing touchdowns against Texas Tech last year, he's a handful. John Summerall says they might have to have not one but two spies on him, but he pointed out it doesn't matter if you have a spy if the guy can't actually make the play and tackle him. So I think that Tulane's number one priority going into this game is to try to make sure that Avery Johnson doesn't kill them with his legs. Tulane has a stout run defense other than that. I mean, the only two starters returning from that game 2 years ago against Kansas State are their two defensive tackles in Patrick Jenkins and Eric Hicks. They're really deep up front, but it's just you don't know how you can handle a quarterback with speed like that until you're actually on the field with them and you can't really simulate it in practice.
We talked about this a few days ago. My point was, and it was a little bit exaggerated, but I said you don't see Alabama playing road games in the American Conference, and K-State is not mm-hmm. Alabama, and this home and home was in the works for a while. But how unique of an opportunity is that? Will we see many Power 5, Power 4 schools at Tulane in the future?
Ole Miss came last year. That was the first SEC school that came to Yeoman Stadium, which is in its 11th year now. But the big, Oklahoma was supposed to play Tulane here in 2021. And then Hurricane Ida happened, and the game ended up, Tulane's home game got moved to Norman. And obviously then that was their shot there. So they do, this is cropping up now. It's a 30,000 seat stadium. It is a little different to get a Power 4 school to come. But again, Oklahoma was supposed to play here in 2021. It's a huge opportunity. Kansas State is the highest ranked non-conference opponent that Tulane has played in the 11-year history of the stadium.
Wow. All right, final moments. Gary Smith from the Times-Picayune in New Orleans. We're here in Wichita, of course, American Athletic Conference. No football here, but certainly every other sport and men's basketball extremely meaningful here as well mm-hmm. as in New Orleans with Tulane. What's the latest on Tulane's aspirations? I've read a lot where Tulane's one of those schools that's maybe looking at ways to potentially get out of the American. What's the latest? And then I'd like your comments on the most recent staff dismantling at Memphis under Penny Hardaway.
Yeah. First of all, Tulane. Of course, Tulane has aspirations to move out of the American Athletic Conference because there's no way to know for sure, but it certainly looks like there could be a time in the not so distant future where the power conferences break off from the rest and they play amongst themselves, and the so-called little guy don't even have a shot anymore. Tulane's that new athletic director, David Harris, unlike Memphis and some other schools, he says he's not going to make any public comments because he says those things are handled in private. But sure, Tulane, let's put it this way. Tulane is in a heck of a lot better position to make that move now than they were until Willie Fritz turned the football program around in a big way. So let's start there. Sure, Tulane would love to make that jump. Nothing's imminent right now. But if they keep winning on the football field, all of these decisions are based on football. the chances get incrementally better each year for that possibility. As for Memphis, hey, Penny Hardaway, that program, it's sort of like a train wreck that somehow sort of stays on the tracks because he can recruit, that's for sure. you never know what to expect out of that team.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for sharing your insight into Tulane. That should be a fun football game tomorrow, 11 o'clock kickoff. We look forward to it. It'll be right here on KFH. Gary, thank you.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.